Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Mid-Delta Auction is holding its 18th annual end-of-year public auction on Thursday, December 5th at our Greenwood location. Visit Mid-Delta's website at mdauction.com for more info or call Will at 662-299-2414.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
All right, here we go. A little bit of a special edition of the live stream. It is Black Friday. I hope all of you had a very happy Thanksgiving, and I assume that you guys are having a very happy Black Friday. Ole Miss gets the win in the Egg Bowl, although a score that not a whole lot of people expected. 26-14, the final. Ole Miss beats Mississippi State in the Egg Bowl. So we're here to talk about that. And I mean, we'll get to your comments because that is kind of what I want to drive the conversation tonight. Less so about the game itself. Now, there are some things to talk about with the game, but quite frankly, Ole Miss won as four-score favorites. They did not cover, but they won the game. It was sloppy at times for sure, and uncomfortable for Ole Miss in moments as well. But I think what tonight should be is more about you guys and, you know, that the season's over, and now you've got a weekend spending watching other people. Maybe Georgia's about to lose to Georgia Tech. It's 10-0 Georgia Tech right now, and maybe hoping for a little bit of chaos. But we'll talk about all things Egg Bowl and the Ole Miss win over Mississippi State on this, again, this special edition, quote-unquote, of the Rebel Report. Again, my name is Michael Borky. I invite you please to subscribe, like the video, subscribe to the channel, but also subscribe to the podcast. Wherever you get them, just search Rebel Report, subscribe. If you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. And this edition and every edition of the Rebel Report is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm has got you covered. If you're a small business and you need legal advice, or you may not need legal advice right now, but if you're a small business owner, I want you to save this number because that day may come where you need some legal help. And DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm has got you covered. 662-397-9799. 662-397-9799. Also, personal injury. If you've been personally injured, he's got you covered as well. And contract disputes. So check him out. DJ Gregory, the Gregory Law Firm in Fulton, Mississippi, but he can service you anywhere. 662-397-9799, presenting the Rebel Report. So again, Ole Miss wins 26-14. Very, very sloppy game. Defensively, Ole Miss gave up a couple of first quarter touchdowns and then really shut Mississippi State down after that. State's offense mostly was really, really nice throws. I mean, Mississippi State's wide receivers are good. We talked about that, especially on the radio show going into it. In some, you know, so some pretty well-thrown deep balls and good catches that led to Mississippi State touchdowns early. And then Pete Golding and that defense really just shut them down for the rest of the game. Mississippi State's offense had one promising drive, and Ole Miss had a four-down stand. It was first and goal from like the 1.5, and Ole Miss did not give up a touchdown, a pretty significant stand there for the Ole Miss defense. But yet again, the Ole Miss defense saves the game. This team, I asked the question last time after the Florida game, and I ask it again, what would this program be over the last 25 games without Pete Golding? What would the record be? What would they look like? Now, you have to give Lane Kiffin credit for hiring Pete Golding and all of those things, but still, what would this program be without Pete Golding? I shudder to think of what the answer might be. Yet again, on the back of defense, Ole Miss won a game. Kiffin now 4-1 in Egg Bowls in his 5 years at Ole Miss. So 4 of 5 under Lane Kiffin. A little bit of box score house cleaning first, and then we'll get into some thoughts and then to your comments. Jackson Dart. He was 14 of 24 for 143 and a touchdown. He also ran for 77 on 6 per. That includes sacks, by the way. Ulysses Bentley, I'm sure you guys are going to want to talk about that, led the team in rushing 136 yards on 7 per, had the long touchdown on 20 carries. Caden Priestcorn led Ole Miss in receiving. had 53 yards on four catches and a touchdown. Jordan Watkins had five catches for 40 yards. Caden Lee had a trio of catches. Daquan Wright had a big one. Ulysses Bentley also had a seven-yard catch in the game. On the other side, Michael Van Buren, I really like his upside. He needs some polishing as a young quarterback. He's also playing behind a really bad offensive line. He was 17 of 32 for 280. A touchdown, did have a couple of picks in the game. Mississippi State ran for 1.3 yards per carry. And guys, I know that this state team is not good. They're very, very bad. And that is part of what we'll get to here in a little bit. But they have been running the football better lately, and Ole Miss held them to 1.3 yards per carry. 1.3 per carry. Kevin Coleman, really, really, really good player, had 118 yards receiving on six receptions in that long touchdown. Akari, again, their receivers are good. They've got good receivers. Akari had 54 on 18 per reception. Mosley had two catches for 50 yards. All in all, again, 291 yards passing for Mississippi State. That includes the fake punt. So a pretty good day for them in that regard. Walter Nolan was an absolute beast yet again. 3.5 tackles for loss. He led the team in tackles today. Had 8 tackles. 3.5 of them were for loss, including a sack and a half. Chris Paul had a sack. He plays violent, doesn't he? He's a lot of fun to watch. J.J. Pegues had a TFL and a half. And his final game in Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. Overall, Ole Miss had 8 tackles for loss and 3 sacks in the game. Another truly dominating defensive performance. So there's a couple of angles that you can take, as always. There's positive, there's negative, and then the truth being somewhere in the middle. If you want to go super positive, Ole Miss finishes the season with a win. You know, they seemingly are going to come up short. We'll see how the games shake out this weekend. But that is 38 wins in 4 years under Lane Kiffin. That is very good. That is objectively very good. They have dominated their in-state rival. And even though the game was sloppy tonight, that just adds to it. They are poised to sign a very good high school recruiting class. They are going to be active in the transfer portal yet again. It feels like they've got the quarterback situation figured out. More on that here in a little bit. And I think you should have full faith and trust in Pete Golding on the other side after yet another great year and a bunch of really quality portal evaluations. You should feel very confident in what Ole Miss will have, not only returning defensively with a handful of guys that will be back for this team, but also what they'll be able to add both in recruiting and in the portal on the other side of the ball. So the program is in good shape. It is very stable. They lost 3 one-score games, 2 missed field goals away from being 11-1 right now, probably. So they were right there. Now, they came up short, but the program is still very stable and solid. And while it was playoff or bust for this season, and there's no doubt it's a bust, the program is certainly not a bust. They are in good, healthy shape, and they will continue to be moving forward. On the other side, there are real, clear problems with the Ole Miss offense. It is not just isolated to this game. But this game is a perfect example of why there is such a problem, because this game, you cannot blame just offensive line on this game. You can do it like, because that's been a common theme, right? As well, the offensive line's bad. They can't do anything offensively because the offensive line's bad. They just scored 26 points and struggled all night, really, against the worst defense in the Power Five. Possibly the worst defense in college football. In every meaningful statistical category, Mississippi State is ranked in the 120s in college football. They gave up 41 points to Toledo. Arkansas scored 58. Missouri was taking knees in goal-to-go territory, and they scored, 39 in that game. They have been absolutely pathetic defensively on a nightly basis. And this Ole Miss offense, in their 3 losses plus Mississippi State, scored 2 second half touchdowns. 2 second half touchdowns in those 8 quarters. And 2 second half, you can take away LSU and Florida. They only scored 2 second half touchdowns against the 2 worst teams in the SEC. So, yes, offensive line is clearly a problem. There's no denying that. They have issues there. But it's deeper than that. That is the worst defense in the Power Five that they just played, and they still struggled. There are issues offensively, specifically in the second half, but it has not looked right, consistently right, for a couple of years. They have had flashes like the Arkansas game where they look brilliant, but all in all, this season offensively was simply not good enough. And even if it's just as simple as, well, the offensive line sucks, do you think that they coach and schemed at the maximum to get the most out of their offensive line? Did they do that? If that answer is yes, then so be it. It doesn't feel that way. They feel incredibly predictable. They were largely shut down by the worst defense in all of the Power Five tonight. It has not felt or looked right for a while. I think that Ole Miss needs to make some level of change offensively. I think tonight confirmed the necessity for change on that side of the ball, whether it's scheme, whether it's play caller, whether it's assistance, or all of the above. You cannot simply watch what they did this season on offense and say that they maximized their potential, right? Because sometimes you have personnel issues that are hard to overcome, but you can still get the most out of what you have. And there is no way that you could ever convince me that Ole Miss has gotten the most out of what they had offensively this season. And it was evidenced tonight in the second half of their three losses, plus the game tonight. Something is wrong with them offensively, and you cannot simply just blame the offensive line. Changes need to be made, I think, on that side of the ball in order to become a more effective offense. The numbers that they put up this year are a little bit fool's gold. It's the non-conference games. Arkansas really helps that. When it mattered most, the offense was not dependable. When it mattered most, the defense was the most dependable. There is a clear difference between the two units on this Ole Miss team. One needs a reset, while the other you expect to just reload and continue firing because of who is ahead of it. So Ole Miss gets the win tonight, and you know they enter the recruiting season with some momentum. I was really happy for Jackson Dart to get that moment where, look, I mean, I saw videos of him on the field with the trophy and a cigar and stuff like that. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of conversations about, you know, legacy and Mount Rushmore and those kind of things, where he fits. Broke Eli's record tonight. I guess the winningest quarterback in Ole Miss football history. And is he the most talented quarterback Ole Miss has ever had? No, he's not. Is he the best that's ever played at Ole Miss? No, probably not. But I think that history is going to look back really fondly on Jackson Dart. I mean, what Ole Miss got so much out of him, and it's deeper than just, you know, play, right? The way he played the game is unique for a quarterback. The toughness, the grit, the people use the expression scumbag quarterback. I mean, he fit that mold perfectly, right? Just with the way he played, the edge. Won a lot of big games as well at Ole Miss, battling through injuries multiple times. I mean, he was so banged up by the end of last season. I mean, he's trying to run dudes over tonight on that really bad ankle. He had that. I think the legacy moment for Jackson Dart is coming back from the Georgia game and playing as well as he did in that game. I think that's his legacy moment. But when you have a player that gets emotional talking about your school, you have something special. And especially in this era where, look, he didn't start at Ole Miss. He transferred into Ole Miss. But this portal era where everybody says that all these players are just mercenaries and they don't care and all this stuff, that dude is the epitome of give a damn. And I know that I could probably use a more eloquent expression than that, but Jackson Dart epitomizes give a damn. And he played like it. And so was he perfect? No. Is anybody perfect? No. But he's one hell of a quarterback, and Ole Miss fans should spend a lot, like the rest of their lives looking back at the Jackson Dart era as you had a quarterback that played well, that won a lot of big games and did a lot of great things, but played tough as hell and played like he truly cared about you. You know what I mean? Especially in this time where everybody says that players only care about themselves. his actions and his words are that of somebody that cares about you. And that's incredibly, it's unique. It's important. And I think that he should be remembered extremely, and he will be remembered extremely fondly for being the guy that just epitomized, to steal a phrase from Pardon My Take, that he epitomized grit. That's what he was, and that's what I think his legacy will be at Ole Miss, and he's earned all of the accolades that he has received. And he leaves the program behind better than when he arrived. Truly, he has a great legacy at Ole Miss, and one that should be exclusively positive as he moves on to the NFL, and you know he'll come back and visit and be a part of things and get recognitions and stuff like that on the field in the future. I don't know what his NFL career holds, but I know that Ole Miss got a whole hell of a lot out of Jackson Dart. So I was happy for him. I was happy for Ulysses Bentley. You could hear the crowd pop when he would get touches and things like that. I've already kind of said my piece on all that. I don't think tonight like affirms or denies that narrative because of how bad the Mississippi State run defense is. I think quite frankly, it's abundantly clear that he could have helped them. Is he Barry Sanders? Of course not, but he could have helped this team. He could have helped last Saturday. There's the explanations fall flat. The running back room was completely and totally mismanaged. Would he have been the difference in a win and a loss in those three games? I don't know, but I do know that home run hitting ability could have helped this team more than they allowed him to this year, certainly more than a walk-on and a converted wide receiver, for sure. So I was happy for him to have that moment and to have the crowd behind him in the way that they were tonight. And then for guys like Bentley already mentioned him, but like Pegues and Ivy and a lot of those guys to come out on top the way they did is, you know, the season they came up short, but those guys deserve to go out the way that they did tonight because they put a lot into it. And I mean, 20 wins in 2 years with the possibility of getting to 21 is pretty special. So I was happy for a lot of those guys there as well. Now it's on to the future, right? I mean, the signing day is Wednesday. The portal opens on the 9th, and the pre-portaling slash tampering has already begun. Ole Miss has a lot of people to replace. I mean, they have needs at basically every position, but luckily it feels like they've got the quarterback situation figured out. And I was reading something earlier today that said that the quarterback portal might not be very strong. It could be lacking not only in volume of players, but also the quality. And so for Ole Miss to seemingly have quarterback figured out going into next season is that's a good thing, right? And it's very exciting to see, you know, what's next. As great as Jackson was for Ole Miss, spending the offseason talking about the what's next with Austin Simmons is exciting as well. And we will certainly do that for sure if that's what it ends up being. Very curious to see how the Deuce Knight visit went today and if they have any departures in the portal or if they decide to bring one in. But it's got to feel good for Ole Miss to have an answer at quarterback already in the building because the portal apparently not going to be particularly kind to that position this year. I think that there should be some changes offensively. I don't know if there will be. We will have to see. You would think that it has to happen pretty fast, but we will certainly, yeah, we will certainly see. We'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Tell them I sent you, and you'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. That's Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority. They've got 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's very likely to be one in your backyard. Bank with me, guys, at Priority One Bank. Georgia Tech leading Georgia 17-0 at the half. Wow. We'll keep an eye on that one. So here we go to the comments. I don't have too long. I've got to get going. So I'll read some of these pretty quick, and then we'll get out of here pretty good. Shout out to Borky for being late enough on this for me to get home in time. Glad to have you, Edward. I figured I'd do it at like the normal time as opposed to immediately after the game. Let people kind of get home. Who's this Bentley guy? He's pretty good. He certainly has the home run ability. He's certainly not perfect. I mean, he's not perfect. He did some things, some head scratching things tonight for sure. But the idea that player that you saw like pop in the LSU game, that home run hitting ability could not have helped this team this year it's nonsense is what it is. And, you know, we can talk through what the coaches may have thought. And again, it's very possible that that's exactly what they thought. To me, not affording him any opportunity in multiple games to even attempt to hit the home run like he did again tonight is malpractice. They completely and totally mismanaged the running back position at Ole Miss, completely and totally mismanaged it. Bad evaluations and bad decisions, and there's no explanation for how poorly it was mismanaged. Converting a small wide receiver to play running back against Florida instead of that guy just it made and makes no sense. It just you can never convince me otherwise, and we can talk this into the ground. I was happy for him to have that moment tonight, though. He deserved it. That was one of the laziest wins you've seen in the Kiffin era. Yeah, Ole Miss, they were clearly flat, and understandably so to a degree. But yeah, that was a rough watch. That was a really, really rough watch, especially considering how bad this Mississippi State team is. I mean, they finished 2-10 for a reason. Their only wins this year are Eastern Kentucky and UMass. They have been non-competitive on a weekly basis, and they were competitive tonight. That is exclusively on Ole Miss. That's all that is. Look, Lebby, I think Lebby's going to, with time, I think he'll do good things there. He's a good offensive coach. He really is, but it should not have been like that. There's got to be wholesale change on the offensive side of the ball. I agree. Didn't look like Dart had a lot of help. No, it didn't. And he didn't have a lot of help last weekend either, drops and things like that. It just feels like, and I'm not a coach, I don't know, it feels like Ole Miss is entirely too predictable. You're talking about a pathetic Mississippi State team. I really cannot overstate how bad this team is. I've had to watch them every week. They are so bad, and they have been so bad. And this Mississippi State team, with the defense ranked in the 120s and everything, it felt like they understood exactly what was coming. Like, Ole Miss is entirely too predictable offensively. And no, you can't use the excuse that, well, Lebby coached at Ole Miss, because this is a weekly thing. It's a weekly thing. And I think they're too predictable. There's got to be a lot of self-scouting for Ole Miss's offense this offseason. Ole Miss's best team ever struggled to beat State's worst team ever. Yeah, and, you know, I see your avatar and you're a State fan, but, I mean, you're not going to try to chest thump about a double-digit loss, are you? I don't know if that's the best approach to this. State hit some long shot plays and got some good offense, but Ole Miss's defense did their thing. Absolutely. And what's so impressive about Ole Miss's defense and Pete Golding is how quickly they adjust, right? It's like they see their opponent's first punch and what they're going to try to do, and the adjustments happen quickly. Mississippi State got to them a few times early, and then for the rest of the game, it was pure domination. And that has happened. I mean, that happened last week against Florida as well. They make adjustments on the fly. That the morons, Alabama fans that talked about how Pete Golding sucks and all this stuff, it was always so goofy. And they've been proven to be incredibly goofy, not only schematically and how they play, but the evaluations have been outstanding. And I mean, Walter Nolan again tonight, right? That's a guy that, whether it was true or not, Texas A&M people talked about how he had attitude issues and effort issues, and he was a locker room problem. They're glad he's gone. He played all season long, and he was dominant all season long, and he's played through injuries. I mean, he's been hurt. He has bum ankle and a messed up hand apparently, and I mean, he was just dominant yet again tonight. He was special, and that goes to Randall Joyner, but of course to Pete Golding as well. Boo Birds came out multiple times today, and you had people booing and cheering when Bentley went in and out. Good. Good. That doesn't bother me at all. I think you guys should voice your displeasure to the $10 million coach and his staff worth billions as well, and the roster worth millions, however you see fit. Do I know how the Grove Collective handles NIL deals with opt-outs for a potential bowl? I do not, but I can find that out, and I will ask me again. Remind me, and I will find out, and I'll be able to tell you. Felt really happy for Bentley after he broke that run. I did too. Be curious to see if Lebby brings back Hutzler now. You're sure Haydad has some things to say there. There's been a line of thinking that Hutzler does return to Mississippi State. I don't know. I mean, maybe as we're already talking, it's already happened. But there has been a line of thinking that the possibility of him returning exists. That goal line stand was fun to watch. Pete is the man. Yeah, that's going to be, or I think it should be, one of those Egg Bowl sequences that you guys remember, right? I mean, that was a chance for State to kind of make the game a little squirrely. They were never going to win that game. But they could have cut it to five and at least made it something, and they just bowed up and shut it down. That was really impressive. Easily one of the most embarrassing offensive performances under Kiffin, considering the opponent offense was such a letdown this year overall. It's why they lost all three of their games. The offense did not show up. Why do I think Juice Wells has struggled so much? Reflection on coaching. That's a great question. I don't know. He was so much better than this at South Carolina. I truly don't know why the regression was so significant. They've got to have some answers at wide receiver too. I mean, you've got Caden Lee who's budding on being elite. He's already a great player, but he's borderline superstar status, or at least he's getting, he certainly can be next year. I mean, just gets open, catches the ball, reliable. If Cunningham sticks, I think that he'll have to play for Ole Miss next year for a couple of reasons. But, I mean, they'll be active in the portal again for a wide receiver. Frankly, the hit rate on wide receivers for them in the portals is actually good. I mean, I know Wells has been a disappointment, but Trey Harris was a hit. Jordan Watkins was a hit. So I think that you've got some track record of them being good there. We'll have to see. Kentucky and Florida losses were fatal. Kentucky is far less forgivable than Florida, but they were bad at offensive line, receiver in some spots, running back and scheme play calling. Yes, overall pretty awful, truly. Coaching has been terrible considering the talent is better than it has ever been. I mean, I hear the arguments about offensive line not being good enough, but also whose fault is that, right? You bring in four portal guys and you returned four of your five starters from a year ago. So that's, again, a situation. I know that's a very difficult position to evaluate in. It's truly, offensive line's tough, right? But you returned four of your five starters and you brought in four guys. So if the offensive line is still awful, that means you evaluated poorly and you also developed poorly at the same time. So something still has to give there, and that's still on the people putting the roster together. Need answers about Bentley. I think that you guys deserve answers about Bentley, especially those of you that have donated to the collective. Other people disagree. It's just a difference of opinion, nothing, you know, malicious in the differences. But I think that you guys, if you were asked to give your money to pay the salaries of the players, I think you are owed answers. I respect the opinions of people that don't think that you're owed anything. I think that you are. I think you deserve answers. I don't think you're ever going to get them. I think Kiffin should leave. It doesn't get any easier than this season. Two things. Where's he going to go? And why do you think that? Last year's team won 10 games and would have made the playoff if it was 12 back then. Where do people come up with this stuff? I don't understand it. Like this idea that it had to be this season or else it'll never happen is just not rooted in any factual backing whatsoever. don't be surprised if they sign an incredibly good portal class again this year. I just, this idea that this was the only opportunity for them to make the playoff is, it's just not rooted in any sort of logic. Dart will have a great legacy, should be up there with Matt Corral in terms of what they did for the program. I agree. I mean, having both of them back-to-back, too, is pretty special, right? That's really special to have those two quarterbacks and the impact that they had not only on their teammates, but, I mean, the fan base and the way they played. Both played tough, man. Both guys played hurt, did a lot of really good things. And now, I mean, you transition right into the Simmons era, which I think you guys should be really optimistic about. It's not just running up the middle with Bentley. It's about getting him the ball in space and letting him have open field. He showed that again today. Yes, out of the backfield against Georgia, he was so useful. That could have helped against Florida, but what do I know? 2025 season in all likelihood starts in the next few days. Yeah, starts with signing day, which, I mean, if Ole Miss gets a couple of the guys that they're in on, they're possibly going to sign a top 15 class. Feel like absolute chaos is coming tomorrow? I do, too. I do, too. Give your quick rooting guide synopsis for the weekend. I know it's probably a moot point, but it's still fun. I agree. I mean, I put out there on Twitter that, you know, hey, Ole Miss has, if they would have gotten a favorable draw from the committee, there's still a chance, and people are like, they don't deserve it. That's not the conversation. No, they don't deserve to make the playoff. They lost to Kentucky at home. They don't deserve it. But who cares about deserve? Playoff scenarios are so much fun. Although Georgia will still play in the SEC championship and they can win and get the bye, I think you still want Georgia Tech to beat Georgia tonight. You want them to hold on to this lead and win this game. Although South Carolina could possibly jump Ole Miss, I do think you would rather the team in front of you lose than the team behind you lose. So rooting for South Carolina, rooting for Vanderbilt, rooting for Auburn, as difficult as that is. Rooting for Southern Cal to beat Notre Dame. Rooting for, I mean, I don't think this will happen, but rooting for Syracuse to beat Miami. I don't think Miami could fall behind you. Rooting for Cal to beat SMU. I don't think jumping Penn State's a possibility, but just for the lulls, rooting for Maryland. Rooting for Purdue. Rooting for Texas. I think you want Texas to win out so A&M doesn't jump you and so Georgia doesn't jump you if they lose tonight. And then you want Boise State to win out as well. So rooting for South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Auburn, Syracuse. And you don't need all of these teams to win, but that's who you're rooting for. Clemson. No, excuse me, South Carolina to beat Clemson, Vanderbilt to beat Tennessee, Syracuse to beat Miami, Auburn to beat Alabama, Cal to beat SMU, USC to beat Notre Dame, Purdue to beat Indiana. You need about three of those to happen without anybody jumping behind you to get in that 11 spot and possibly get in the playoff. So there you go. You felt stating the points was a free play. You did say that the other night, didn't you? You can draw some things from tonight, but it kind of felt like a it-is-what-it-is game. They won, and that was kind of that. On to more important things now. Yes, I agree. Zero chance Juice is drafted now. I guess there's been some talk about the possibility of him returning. Gotta get better. Has to be more reliable catching the football, though. I think that they could use him better as well, but anyway. Caden Lee's the best route runner on the team, and it isn't even close. They need three more of him. Well, they need a big-bodied, physical wide receiver. You can't have three Caden Lees, but I get your point. I'm being annoying. But yes, yeah, absolutely. He's very special. He's very special. It's not just about talent. Georgia and Bama likely won't be this week next year. How do you know? How do you know that? I think you can draw the conclusion that the portal era has caused a lack of depth across the board. Kirby Smart has talked about it. That's an issue for them. That's an issue for Alabama. It's an issue for everybody. It's going to be hard to acquire real depth the way that they used to. Ole Miss's schedule next year is better as well. You don't have the four BS non-conference games all to start the season. Those will be spread out, which helps a lot. So there you go. Anyway, I got to run. I hate to do this, but I have to run. Have to cut it off early. But look, Ole Miss wins the Egg Bowl. We'll get back here on Sunday. We'll talk about the weekend that was. Signing day is Wednesday, so we might alter our schedule a little bit. Ole Miss basketball got a really nice win last night. So close against Purdue. Got beat basically at the buzzer. They're for real. I mean, I think that you really should love the way that the basketball team played each of the last 2 days. They've got a group of four guards that are going to help them win a lot of games. And you see that, I mean, they can execute in close games. I really like this team. Still some concerns about physicality, but I like their makeup, and I like what I saw over the last four halves of basketball. So we'll have that to talk about as well. We'll be back Sunday, though, to recap the weekend and if any other Ole Miss news pops up between now and then. Thank you guys for tuning in. As always, like the video, leave a comment, all that good stuff. We'll see you on Sunday. Y'all have a good night.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.